Hawaii's governor has signed legislation to raise the state's smoking age to 21, and this includes e-cigarettes, starting on January 1st, 2016. Those under the age of 21 will not be able to smoke, buy, or possess tobacco products. Is this a good law? Should other states, like Wisconsin, follow suit? That's today's big question. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, June 24th. We have with us two guests from different sides of this issue, and we will welcome your questions and your views at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us, talk@WPR.org. You can post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We also have an online poll, as we do every week, for the big question. You can find that at WPR.org/joy, and we have a link on the Facebook page as well. So, should the legal smoking age be raised to 21? Our guests are Beverly May. She is the Director of Advocacy for the Western Region of the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thank you for being with us. We also have with us Anthony Fisher, a producer at Reason TV and Reason.com, a New York City-based filmmaker and graduate of Emerson College. His short films have been featured on Sundance Channel, Comedy Central, and many other festivals around the world. Good morning.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot for being with us. Well, let's start with you, Beverly May. Why do you think raising the legal smoking age to 21 is a good idea?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. It was very exciting with Hawaii. I was very much involved with that. I think that it's extremely important, because what we want to make sure we do is delay the age when people first start to pick up that first cigarette. And we know that tobacco kills more than 480,000 Americans each year. And we know that 95% of people start smoking before the age of 21. So by putting this law into effect, we're delaying that onset of smoking. So we feel this is one of the tools that we have that helps delay that onset.
Yeah, well, and Beverly, what do we know about youth smoking and what starting at an early age means?
Well, what we know is the development of the brain. We're learning more and more about the neuroscience, and I'm certainly not a doctor, but I've learned so much through a number of physicians and a number of studies that are out there, that during the time of adolescence, studies involving alcohol and other drugs, the brain is developing all through the 20s and into the early and mid-20s, that addiction affects any kind of foreign object, whether it's tobacco or other medicines, whatever. So this is a time of transition and experimentation during this time. So again, when they experiment and they pick up the tobacco or these other issues, usually this means a lifetime of smoking. So what we're doing is delaying that onset. This is why we feel this period of time is important. The other thing with this is not just, you know, the 21, it's the fact that there is students that will buy cigarettes for younger students. This is what we have found a lot of times. They're going into the stores and they're purchasing the cigarettes. Is this going to stop every child from not picking or youth picking up a cigarette? No, it's not.
Let me get Anthony into this. Anthony, you're with Reason TV, which advocates for free minds and free markets. What's your biggest issue with raising the legal smoking age to 21?
Well, I mean, first off, let me just say, unequivocally anti-smoking. I don't like smoking. There's no question it's bad for you, and it's a good thing that in the past couple of decades there's been a societal shift against the popularization of smoking, and that it's kind of been moved to the fringes. That said, I do think that adults in a free country have agency, and I do think that you're entitled to make poor decisions with your own body. And beyond that, I think that people have property rights and should be allowed to, you know, dictate the policies on their private property as long as they're engaging in legal behavior. And I do think that at the age of 18, if the government says that you are old enough to assume the rights and responsibilities, especially the responsibilities of an adult, including paying taxes and perhaps killing or dying for your country, then certainly I do think that you're entitled to make the choice of, you know, a poor choice, in my opinion, if you wanted to have a cigarette. I don't possibly see how you could justify, you know, an 18-year-old kid, you know, taking Fallujah back and then saying, no, can't have a cigarette. That'd be bad for society at large.
Anthony, I know that you produced a segment for Reason TV in which you interviewed New York University students when New York was proposing and did raise the smoking age to 21 for the city. What did you hear from those young people?
And again, in New York, it's a melting pot, and I was at NYU where there's a lot of international students, and the students I spoke to, even the non-smokers, kind of thought it was ridiculous. They kind of thought that, you know, kids will make poor decisions. Kids, especially college kids, might drink too much, might experiment with some drugs, but it doesn't mean that they have, you know, sentenced themselves to instant death or a lifetime of addiction. People do experiment, and smoking is addictive and odious. But again, you know, when you're an adult, and you know, when you're, you know, particularly of college age, you are entitled to make mistakes. You are entitled to experiment, and I feel like raising the smoking age to 21, while it's, you know, it very likely will accomplish some of the things that its supporters say it will, like delaying smoking for a certain amount of people. I do think it's an arbitrary number. And I do think that if you really, you know, if we're just picking numbers out and the goal is to just limit the amount of kids who take up smoking around that age, why not 25? Why not 30? You could go on and on with this in the name of a social good.
Yeah, well, Beverly, what about that? We have some Facebook posters who are saying, make it 65, make it forever. You know, just don't.
Let me come. There was a lot there. Let's talk about the 21 age. I think it's important that 21 is an age that, first of all, when you look at drinking, 21 has been set drinking marijuana at 21. Those ages have been picked. But when you talk about going back, what Anthony was talking about, adult choices, you know, it's also completely inaccurate to talk about making an adult choice to smoke. You know, this isn't a serious addiction. It's not a choice. Most smokers, they want to quit. When you talk to smokers, they want to quit, but they have a hard time doing so because it's an addiction. It's not a choice. And most people start when they're kids, and they become addicted. And they start at a period of time before they're 21. And the tobacco industry, and this is a quote from the industry, from their own documents, if a man has never smoked by the age of 18, the odds are 3-1 that he never will. By the age of 24, the odds are 20-1. And that was from their own documents, September the 10th, 1982. They also talk about the fact they're going to lose a big part of their business if they don't get them addicted by that time. So the industry knows that that's an important part and a reason to get people started on cigarettes at that time. Now the science has caught up to the point that that's when the brain is very susceptible to that. I know that Anthony referred to what's the number and is there a large amount. The fact is, the number is important because it is an addiction and it causes chronic diseases. We know the diseases are chronic. We know there's cancer. We know there's heart disease. And we know that it is the only product out there that, if it's used properly, causes diseases. And so we just want to delay picking up that first cigarette.
We are talking with two guests who have different positions on today's big question. We are asking, should the legal smoking age be raised to 21? This on the heels of Hawaii becoming the first state in the nation to raise its legal smoking age to 21. It prohibits people under the age of 21 from smoking, buying, or possessing tobacco products, and this includes electronic cigarettes. We'll talk some about that when we return from our newscast. We are talking with Beverly May, Director of Advocacy for the Western Region of the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids, and Anthony Fisher, a producer at Reason TV and Reason.com. And we'll continue talking with them and welcome your questions and views after we check the latest news. Hawaii has become the first state in the nation to raise the legal smoking age to 21. But other states, starting with California and Washington State, are considering following suit. What about Wisconsin? Should Wisconsin raise the legal smoking age to 21? That's today's big question. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are talking with two guests who have different perspectives on today's big question. Anthony Fisher, a producer at Reason TV and Reason.com, says that the smoking age should not be raised to 21. And Beverly May is the director of advocacy for the Western Region of the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids, who supports raising the legal smoking age to 21. Well, this new law in Hawaii, well, the law starts in January of next year, also includes e-cigarettes. So people under the age of 21 would be prohibited from buying or smoking or possessing tobacco products, including electronic cigarettes. What's the, Beverly May, what's the point of that?
Well, what we have found is that the e-cigarettes, a lot of the people are using e-cigarettes and cigarettes at the same time. So where they can't use smoking, they will use the e-cigarettes. So they're using dual use. And so we're finding that we want to make sure that the availability of e-cigarettes and keep them on the level playing field and have them at 21 also.
Yeah, we have a Deb on Facebook who says she doesn't think raising the legal smoking age matters. They'll just start vaping anyway, which they do everywhere. But maybe Deb didn't realize that the law includes e-cigarettes. Well, what do you think, Anthony? Will kids just vape anyway?
I can't say whether they're going to vape anyway, but I will say that removing a tobacco-free product from the market that is a even if the science isn't completely settled on the chemicals in e-cigarettes, it is so much safer than tobacco products, whether smokeless tobacco or tobacco. That to me, it's just kind of a nanny state prohibitionist idea to shame anyone who's a nicotine user at all onto the fringes. To have what is a infinitesimally safer product less available to people, including people who are under the age of 21, just makes very, very little sense to me.
Yeah, Doug on Facebook says, make everything 18 or 21. I am sick of all this stuff in between. If you are expected to be mature enough to pick up a rifle and defend your country at 18, then everything should be 18. If not, raise the draft and the voting age to 21. Well, Beverly May, what about that?
You know, I think that's a good point. I understand where the person's coming from. It was interesting looking at a lot of different ages, and the one thing that stood out to me is that people can get their driver's license at 16, and we feel they pass the test and they're able to get their permit and get their driver's license, but then they can't go out and drive a 16-wheeler the same day because they don't have the experience to do so. They can't go out and rent a car. There's a lot of different things they're unable to do, and every state varies on that. They can't get a hotel room in some, you know, in some states, you know, I do find that a lot of states that I talk to find it would be much easier if the age would be the same. In Ohio, we found that the convenience stores felt that if the age of 21 would be easier with checking of IDs with alcohol and all, making it 21 across the board. Law enforcement was very much supportive of this because of 21. So, yes, I do think that 21, you know, it's not just a number pulled out of the air, and it, you know, you have to come into some number, but 21 seems to be the number with the alcohol, with the transportation. When they came to that, there was less deaths because of that, and we do feel that the age of 21 has been an age that has applied to, as I say, the marijuana laws in some states, and also alcohol, and now we're looking at that with tobacco laws.
What do you think, Anthony, of a uniform age? Maybe it's 21 for everything.
Well, I'll address that, and I just wanted to go back to e-cigarettes real briefly. A lot of the lobbying against e-cigarettes comes from the tobacco industry, which is kind of the height of irony. It's basically, you know, a big business trying to knock off its competition, and they're finding people in, you know, who are against smoking that are being willing collaborators in that. But as far as 21, yes, it was implemented to reduce drunk driving accidents, and it apparently has, albeit very, very, the difference is marginal. But what it has done is make the binge drinking on college campuses skyrocket in ways it never had. It just didn't exist in previous generations, and it also doesn't exist in countries where the drinking age is 18 or lower, because it's less available, so they have to drink it faster. Now, alcohol and tobacco are different things, but I will just kind of reject the idea that raising the drinking age to 21 has been a overall social good. I would argue that it has.
Beverly, what about maybe smoking becomes that forbidden fruit, and it's becomes the party of choice in dorm rooms?
Well, I'd like to touch on the drinking age. In fact, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration reports since 1975 increasing the minimum age has saved 21,000 lives, and I think even one of those lives is critical to that mother, father, aunt, or uncle, or brother, or sister. And moreover, research shows that when the drinking age of 21, individuals under 21 drink less, and they continue to drink less through their, you know, through their life. So certainly there's binge drinking, but we're talking about saving lives, and it has been effective. That has been effective and has been on for some time, so there's been many studies showing the effectiveness of that. So I do feel that when you have people that start, or youth that start, 95% of them start before the age of 21, and we have the prestigious Institute of Medicine study that just came out this year that shows the benefits and what would happen with between the ages of 18 to 21, the effects that it would have on the population, the fact that that many people start before the age of 21, I feel that there would be certainly a positive effect on that.
We are talking with Beverly May, Director of Advocacy at the Western Region for the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids, and Anthony Fisher, a producer at Reason TV and Reason.com, a New York City-based filmmaker and graduate of Emerson College. And we are talking about today's big question. We are following up on Hawaii's governor signing legislation to raise the state's legal smoking age to 21, making Hawaii the first state in the nation to do so, and wondering if Other states should follow suit. What do you think? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let's take callers. We have full lines. Carl in Madison is with us. Hello, Carl.
Thanks for taking my call. I am not a smoker. I have never been a smoker. And I would certainly probably politically disagree with your libertarian guest on a number of points. But in this instance, it is hard enough being a youth in this country in this time, and especially youth and economically disadvantaged youth, smoking is disproportionate among economically disadvantaged people. And I think the last thing we need is another law criminalizing the young and criminalizing youth. Anyone who knows anything about teenagers, I was a high school teacher. I doubt it would actually prevent those youth who are motivated to go out and try it from smoking. It would just provide another avenue for them from school to the criminal justice system or probation or whatever it is that is really wrecking the opportunities of our young people in this country, particularly socially and economically disadvantaged young people.
Thank you, Carl. How do you respond to that, Beverly May?
You know what? I think that's an excellent point, and we were very concerned about that point when we looked at this law. And one thing, we do not want to punish the youth. That is not the idea of this law. And when you look at the law, there is nothing in the law that will be on the youth record. What is in the law is a very minimal community service or a cessation. They will take a cessation class, but nothing will be on their permanent record that they have picked up a cigarette or they have used a cigarette. We are not in the thing of punishing someone that picks up a cigarette. That is not. We certainly would look at the retailer that would sell to a minor, and that has been in effect for some time. But that is not to punish an adolescent that picks up and would not go on their record at all.
Anthony Fisher?
Well, I don't doubt that the architects behind this law have their hearts in the right place, but I will agree with the caller because, you know, one thing that is missed here is that even if the law is not intended or written to punish young people who violate the law, all laws ultimately are enforced at the barrel of a gun. So, you know, if we're going to talk hypotheticals, I can give you one that's actually in reality. You know, in New York, you know, we had a mayor for a very long time who made it his own personal crusade to get rid of smoking, and it led to $15 packs of cigarettes and a tremendous amount of smuggling. And ultimately, situations like, you know, Eric Garner, who was selling loose cigarettes because there was a market for it in his low-income neighborhood, which ultimately led to a confrontation with police who were enforcing a law that really was not meant to provoke violent confrontation. Now, if you want to speak hypothetically, imagine you're, you know, a 19 or 20-year-old kid in a poor neighborhood, and the police officer suspects that you're under 21, wants to see if you're 21, asks for your ID. Maybe someone in your group is holding a small bag of marijuana. Well, there you go. There's a confrontation with the police that would have never taken place had this law not been in place.
Let me go to another caller. Jake in South Milwaukee is with us. Hello, Jake.
Hello. How are you today?
Good. What do you think about this?
I was wondering if the legislators who approved this law in Hawaii has done their history on prohibition and started to set up an anti-smuggling or black market agenda, possibly from the military bases there on Hawaii or possibly from the internet, in order to help enforce their law.
Well, you want to address Anthony Fisher, I guess we'll let you start in responding to this.
I don't know enough about the law to know if that's if anything like that.
Well, how about just on the prohibition and what that does to?
Just theoretically, yeah. When you make something when you criminalize something that was once previously legal, you're going to create black markets for it. When you create black markets for it, criminals get involved. When criminals get involved, by necessity, the police have to ramp up their efforts. In Hawaii, in the case of New York, you just get people driving down to North Carolina and coming back with a truck full of cigarettes. I don't know exactly how it would work in Hawaii and how they would enforce it, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if a few years down the line you've got militarized task force going after cigarette smugglers.
Beverly May?
I find that it's very difficult to believe, and this has always been the tobacco industry's talking points, Anthony, that people get trucks and they fill them full and they bring them back across the line. These are people that are addicted to cigarettes, and usually their buying habits are buying a pack instead of a carton because they feel they're going to quit. And so they go to their store of choice they go to all the time, and they buy their cigarettes, and they smoke. And they don't go out and rent a truck and drive across the border and fill it up with cigarettes and come back. People get into their habit of smoking because they're addicted, and that's how they buy. So the idea that people are buying, renting trucks and filling them up and smuggling cigarettes in. Now, do people stockpile cigarettes before a tax increase? Do they do that? Of course they do. Do some people break the law and do they cross the line? Of course they do. But the majority of people do not do that. They're addicted to a substance that they go down to their store and they buy a pack of cigarettes. That's how they feed the addiction that they have.
Let me ask you, Beverly May, because our caller brought up all of the military bases in Hawaii. What specifically that argument, which has been brought up by critics of this law, that we're asking young men and women at the age of 18 to fight for their country, but telling them they can't smoke a cigarette.
This was something that I have to say that I thought about a lot. I've been doing this work for over 20 years, and this was something that I certainly thought about. I have members of my family that are in the military, and when we started working on this law, we worked in Hawaii, and if you know Hawaii, there's more military bases there than we have in other places in the United States. And as I started working on this in the Big Island, I was working with a number of people there, and the advocates, their husbands were actively in the military and the National Guard there. And as I was talking to them, the wives had talked to their husbands, and they had come back, and they said they were very offended that people were talking about the military because they said their husbands did not join the military so they could have a cigarette. They joined because they wanted to protect their country. So as we started talking to the Department of Defense to find out more and more about the military, we found out that the military has been looking at ways to make sure that of all branches, the military was ready. Their readiness was there, and they've put in a lot of cessation programs. They've been working to make sure that tobacco products in the commissaries, working to not necessarily eliminate the sales, but looking at different ways of tobacco products being sold in there, also new smoke-free policies. So there's a lot of benefits of health and fitness and quality of life the Department of Defense is working on now. And they're concerned. There's other reasons they're concerned, and it's because of the high cost that smoking has put into the Department of Defense and for the military.
Let me hold you there. We have a newscast coming up, so I've got to let us listen to news, and then we'll continue debating today's big question. Should the legal smoking age in states be raised to 21? Yes or no, why or why not? That's our big question, and we'll talk more after the news. In today's big question, we are asking whether the legal smoking age should be raised to 21. Hawaii just did so. Other states are considering following suit. Should Wisconsin? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We have with us two guests who have different answers to today's big question. Beverly May supports raising the legal smoking age. She is director of advocacy for the Western region of the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids. And Anthony Fisher says no. He is a producer at Reason TV, and Reason.com is a New York City-based filmmaker. And our next caller is Tom in Madison. Hello, Tom.
Good morning, Joy. I've got some opinions on this question. First of all, I'm a 68-year-old guy. I'm coming up on my 50th class reunion. I am a non-smoker. I've been a lifelong non-smoker, although I tried it when I was in junior high. Didn't like the taste. I've got two siblings, both smoked. My parents both smoked. I made a choice early on. I think this question of raising the minimum age to 21 is absolutely ridiculous. We have an age now of 18. All you need to do is ask a high school teacher, a high school counselor, drive by a high school, view the ages of people that are smoking, and you see that many of them are under 18. There's no enforcement of the 18 age. I don't know how you're going to enforce it. We've talked about criminalization, bringing kids into the system. We've got all kinds of problems in Madison and around the country on policing, on community policing, and this to me is something that is just going to exacerbate the problem, is going to make it more ugly for the police, and for the citizens, and for the kids. You know, in my era, if you got pulled over for speeding, you went before the judge, and he took your driver's license away for 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, whatever, depending upon if you were a repeat offender. You didn't get a fine.
You know, Tom, I'm sorry. I sounded like I cut you off, and I kind of did, because we have you gave us a lot to talk about already, and we're running short on time. I'm actually going to go to another caller, and I'm going to get both of our guests to respond to the points that both of these callers are bringing up. Brent in Hebron, go ahead.
Hello?
Brent, go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I think we should have a lesson. I have seven children. I don't smoke, none of my children. This is a situation where parenting should take place. Lady Bird Johnson started a campaign, and it was on TV. I don't have TV in my house, but anyhow, a campaign that said, give a hoot, don't pollute. I've never seen roadsides clean up so much. If politicians would give some money and do a series on and advertisement on teaching your kids not to smoke is way better than giving another long arm of the law. I agree with every caller that's come in here. I think politicians have way too much time and way too much money, and this is another situation that would give police another way to hassle the citizens of this country.
Yeah, thank you, Brent. And our previous caller didn't quite get to it, but it was saying he wanted to continue to say that we need more prevention efforts to try to encourage kids to not smoke rather than, you know, the laws prohibiting it until 21. Beverly May, let's start with you.
I think that's absolutely right, and I agree with the callers what they're saying. This is just another tool of a comprehensive approach. Comprehensive approach to working with youth is, we kind of refer to it as trifecta, though we work with the departments of health, local communities, we work with church groups, all different kinds to change the social norms. It's not just 21. I think there's a lot of focus being put on law enforcement. This is something we want to do by changing the social norms. The 21 is working with the communities, the convenience stores, obviously, so they don't sell the cigarettes. But, you know, a lot of these laws, what happens is what we hope for, like the smoke-free laws. What happens, you walk into a restaurant, someone sees someone smoking in a restaurant, usually a patron will tell them to quit smoking because they're not supposed to smoke there. So a lot of these laws start policing themselves. So it's not like a police state going after the person that starts. So this is just a part of many things that are put into place. As we know, the smoking rates have come down. We know they used to smoke on planes. We know all different things have changed in many, many years. Anthony even spoke of that in the very beginning. So this is just one more tool in the toolkit to help with you know, media ads that you see on TV, the billboards that you see on the side of the road. There's many, many tools that we have.
Anthony Fisher.
Well, you know, I actually am fine with a lot of the laws that have been put in place in the last 20 years that demand transparency when it comes to smoking. Like, you know, that nowadays, cigarettes, you know, in huge letters, it says smoking will kill you. There's no such thing as a light cigarette. You know, this is all great. You know, more information is great. But make no mistake, this is prohibition, and prohibition involves law enforcement. And, you know, in New York, I reported a lot on stop and frisk, and the idea is if someone is breaking a petty law, they're probably going to break a more serious law, so, you know, stop them and shake them down, which is why you had people, you know, in New York, possession of a small amount of marijuana is decriminalized, but if someone stops and frisks you and pulls it out, then suddenly it's in public, and then it's a crime. I can completely see how, in short order, possession of cigarettes by someone under 21 could be an excuse for more prosecution. And to that point, speaking of prohibition, I wanted to go back to something we were talking about earlier, that it's basic supply and demand and a consequence of prohibition that when you tax something, when you have a sin tax on something, people will, you know, opportunists will find reasons to sell products that they can buy cheaply for profit. So it was never the case that I was trying to make that someone would be driving down to North Carolina, coming back with a truckload of cigarettes for their own consumption. But you can turn a $24,000 profit, and this was reported in the Washington Post, that more than 50% of the cigarettes consumed in New York State are smuggled. Because if you're a poor person and you have a choice between buying a $3 black market cigarette, pack of cigarettes or a $15 legal pack, you're going to buy the cheaper pack, and someone's going to make money off of that. That's a consequence of prohibition.
It's time for us to get to our closing arguments. We started with Beverly, so Anthony, you go first with what states like Wisconsin should consider before they follow suit and follow Hawaii's lead.
I think they need to consider that, like all things with good intentions, if they're conscripted into law, they have to be enforced at the barrel of a gun. And your previous callers have made the case that people can be pulled into the system. Now, I know Beverly said that they'd be put in smoking cessation classes, but again, this is not voluntary. This is something that can be put into the system. And once you go down this path, you know, I know a lot of people don't like the slippery slope argument, and it's not always appropriate, but who's to say if anti-smoking fervor, continues down this path, that someone like a kid pulled into the system could be denied federal aid for, a college loan, which is the case now, even in the smallest, pettiest, nonviolent drug-related crimes. Not all crimes, but drug-related crimes. And it's not a stretch to see how tobacco could be looped into both drugs and alcohol and enforcement. I want to know how far people are willing to go. How many examples are they willing to set in law enforcement in the name of having less kids smoke, which I think is a noble cause, and I would support increased education and increased mandatory transparency from the tobacco industry. But like I said, prohibitive laws that on individual use by adults, I think, is just wrong.
Thank you. And Beverly May, the final minute for your closing argument, why other states should raise the legal smoking age to 21.
Well, I will say in Wisconsin, the high school students who smoke 10.7%, which is lower than the national average, so congratulations on that. I do think it's one more tool that is really important. We know that 95% of adult smokers begin smoking before they turn 21. I think the governor in Hawaii said it very well when he was signing the bill, raising the minimum age, and I'm quoting, raising the minimum age as part of our comprehensive tobacco control efforts will help reduce tobacco use among our youth and increase the likelihood that our Kiki, which they call their children, will grow up to be tobacco-free. And I think that's important. And I'll counter that with a quote from Philip Morris where they said, raising the legal age, minimum age for cigarette purchasing to 21 could gut our key young adult market, 17 to 20, where we sell about 25 billion cigarettes and enjoy a 70% market share. Philip Morris report, January 21st, 1986. So I think when you look at 95% starting, Philip Morris having a big market share, and this is part of a toolkit for a comprehensive program, and Wisconsin doing a great job at 10%, we'd like to see that get lower, and delaying that onset, I think it's just one more great tool to put in that arsenal.
Thank you for being with us. Beverly May is with the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids. Anthony Fisher, a producer at Reason TV and Reason.com. We have just a minute for some sound-off comments, 30 seconds each. Elizabeth in Platteville, what do you think?
I think that maybe we should pass a law that mandates that parents do their job in many, many ways, one of them being that they would educate their children in things like smoking, drinking, sexuality, lack of respect, and things like that.
Thank you very much. Scott emails, smoking is a victimless crime. Selling is not. Prohibit selling, but let those who want to smoke grow their own. Austin emails, I used to smoke cigarettes. I don't anymore. I'm 20 years old now. I smoke between the ages of 13 and 18, and I usually got a hold of cigarettes by stealing them from convenience stores. The only thing that stopped me from the feeling of disgust that came from actually buying a pack of cigarettes. Kids smoke because they want to be rebellious, not because they enjoy the smooth, robust taste of a cigarette. Well, thank you for your comments. You can continue commenting on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, and you can vote in our online poll, which is located on our Facebook page and at WPR.org/joy. Thanks to Judith Sears-Poissant, to Caleb Lato, and to Christy Taylor for producing and directing this program. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.